This morning's scriptures are Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 through 9, and Romans chapter 12, verse 1. These passages can be found in your bulletin. From Exodus chapter 25. The Lord said to Moses, "Tell the Israelites to take for me an offering. From all whose hearts prompt them to give, you shall receive the offering for me. This is the offering that you shall receive from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and crimson yarns, and fine linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins, fine leather, acacia wood, oil for the lamps, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, onyx stones and gems to be set in the ephod and for the breastpiece, and have them make me a sanctuary so that I may dwell among them, in accordance with all that I show you concerning the pattern of the tabernacle and all of its furniture, so you shall make it." And from the book of Romans. So here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him.
Would you pray with me? Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My husband and I have an acquaintance who lives here in Berkeley who just in the past year has retired. And as he has transitioned into retirement, he has enjoyed extra time with grandchildren, taking his dogs for walks whenever he so chooses, riding his bike and enjoying life. And a few months ago, he decided that he was interested in establishing more of a rhythm and pace to his life, and that it would be a fun idea to apply for an interview for a job leading bike tours in Napa. And so the night before the interview, part of the interview process is this, a 30-mile bike ride with a group of folks in Napa. He got a good night's sleep, he woke up, he had breakfast as usual, coffee and a Danish, grabbed his water bottle, his bike, a couple snacks, met his group and started on the tour. So day not too much different than this morning. God bless you all for being here. Use the fan. About 10 miles into the bike ride, he started to feel a little bit shaky, just a little bit woozy. A couple miles further down, he started to get those, you know, blotches in your vision. Further down the road, everything goes dark. And he wakes up in a hospital bed in Marin. Joyful Noise Choir, where are you? Can anybody tell me from Joyful Noise what went wrong? Just tell me. Yes, sir? What? Lack of water? Blacked out. Why did he black out? New song? Why did he black out? Lack of water, dehydration. We need sleep, we need food, but we cannot survive without water, right? Our bodies, our physical bodies, are hardwired for water. We can't do it without it. And just like our bodies need water, our souls are wired for worship. Listen to what the word says in Psalm 42, verses 1 and 2. "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and behold the face of God?" We are created to worship. And I promise you, we will all of us worship something. We meet God when we worship here together. Theologian N.T. Wright says that worship is the unique space where heaven and earth intersect. Worship is acknowledging and honoring the presence of God. It's also God's mission, right? For us to be able to worship him in all of creation. This morning, Liam read so brilliantly the beginning, the first 9 verses of several chapters, a series in the second half of Exodus, following Moses receiving the Decalogue or 10 commandments and coming down. God decides to take their relationship or covenant one step further by giving very specific directions on how to create a tabernacle, which is essentially a movable sanctuary, right? There's an outer tent, there's an inner tent, and on the inner tent, there is the Ark of the Covenant. And as you can see, just from those first verses, God was very, very specific about the details, about the artisans, the craftsmen, the colors of the fabrics, the materials, the wood, the images, the decorations, much of which had to do and reflect back from the Garden of Eden when humans walked with God. God was giving instructions on creating his home. Right, so many of you have maybe never been to my home, but I would hope that if you came into my home and I wasn't there and you didn't know whose home it was and you explored all around, you might learn some things. You might learn the kind of books I like to read. You might learn that I play the guitar because the case is right there. You might learn that I have children because we have clothing and wet towels everywhere. You can learn a lot about me by looking around my home. And that's part of what God is doing in the tabernacle. He's teaching us about who God is. God is holy. So it's the beginning of God's mission, right? For worship, the tabernacle, and then through the new covenant of Christ, and then the birth of the church and the world, right? So what does that mean for us? Well, Romans 12, verse 1, and I specifically asked for the Message translation today because I just think it's such a beautiful rendition of the heart of the matter. What does it mean for us to worship? What does it mean for you to worship individually and corporately? Let's read this. I'm going to read this together. It's right here in your bulletin. Here's what I want you to do. This is Paul speaking to the church in Rome. Here is what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life. You're sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. One of the things that is so remarkable to me about worship and worshiping corporately and is such a passion for me is that regardless of our emotional state, regardless of our current life context, the goods, the bads, the exceptionally uglies, the hard days, the difficult times where the world feels chaotic all around you, our posture of worship remains the same. It's an invitation to you at all times, regardless of what's happening in your life, and what a blessing and gift that is. We were created to worship. Okay, so we were created to worship. What else were we created to do? Well, we were created to create. A few weeks ago, we had a family that swims. My kids both swim on a swim team. We had another family from the swim team come to dinner. While eating dinner, one of the parents asked my son a really interesting question. She said, Simon, he's 12. When you grow up, if you could be anything you wanted, do anything you wanted to do, regardless of degrees or how hard it might be to get the job, what would you want to be? And honestly, my response, like I'm thinking in my head very pragmatically, I could see him being an architect. He seems to be very logical, so perhaps an engineer. I mean, this is where I'm at. And he thinks for a moment, and you know what he says? This is so great. He says, if I could do anything, I would create an underwater resort at the bottom of the ocean that was just filled with glass so that people could go with their loved ones and their families and their friends and explore marine life together, and also so that the fish could study us. And in that moment, That moment and why I choose to share it with you today is that it blessed me and that it mattered and that he was living more fully into who he is designed to be, because we are created to create. We are created to be creative. Beauty, art, creativity are one of the spices of life. They are a gift from God. Specifically today, we're talking about the arts as a form of communication, the giving and receiving of truth, sometimes in a bearable way. There's a famous poem by Emily Dickinson written in 1263. The title is often quoted. I'm going to read the whole thing. Tell all the truth, but tell it slant. Success in circuit lies. Too bright for our own infirm delight, the truth's superb surprise. As lightning to the children eased with explanation kind, the truth must dazzle gradually, or every man be blind. You know what that reminds me of? It reminds me of when Moses met with God on Sinai, right, and asks to see God's glory. And in God's goodness and love, what does God do? He says, you simply cannot see the fullness of my glory and survive it. My holiness is so powerful. But in his love and mercy, hides him in the cleft of the rock, and God walks past, and he catches a glimpse of the back of his glory. And even with that glimpse, his face shines so brightly that the people can barely stand it, right? The truth must dazzle gradually, or every man be born blind. I had a professor in seminary named Dean Borgman, whose primary focus of study was Christ and culture and how the two interacted. And something that he was very fond of saying and has really stuck with me is this, that all truth stems from the truth, capital T, right? God, truth, God. And all beauty stems from God's beauty. So when you listen to these choirs work together to bring their voices together, to create chords and harmonies and sing sacred text, or you head to the symphony and you are moved and stirred by what you have heard, there is so much going on there, because a tributary of that beauty stems from God's beauty, the beauty. And in that moment, you are worshiping when you acknowledge it. Not the created piece, but the creator from which it comes. In your bulletin today, you will see two pieces of artwork by portrait artist and friend of mine, Mark Hyde. He's graciously allowed the pieces to be reprinted, and I want to note that he is a Christian. Now, I want to talk a little bit about Christian and Christian artwork and simply say this. If you look at Silas there on the front of the bulletin, is Silas wearing a t-shirt that says, Jesus loves you? No. But Mark is a Christian who knows the grace and truth of the gospel and who must paint, and paint that beauty reflects a power greater than his own in Jesus Christ. Now, communicating beauty, which comes from God's beauty and amazing work. This is just one example of someone who's living into his Christian call to create as an amazing artist. But you may be sitting here asking yourself, what about the rest of us? Madeline Langell, author of A Wrinkle in Time, wrote in an essay on reflections of faith and art this. Great art. Great artists. What about all the rest of us little people struggling with our typewriters and our tubes of paint? It's like the presents under the Christmas tree. The ones which came from Woolworths may be just as rejoiced over as the more expensive ones. The best and best of all are those which are handmade and which may have cost love rather than money. Perhaps it's something like the parable of the workers in the vineyard. Maybe those who worked through the heat of the day were the Michelangelos and the Leonardos and the Beethovens and the Tolstoys. And those who were able to work only 1 hour served their gift of work as best they could. The important thing is to recognize that our gift, no matter what the size, is indeed something given us for which we can take no credit, but for which we must humbly serve. And in serving, learn more wholeness, be offered wondrous newness. Picasso says that an artist paints not to ask a question, but because he has found something and he wants to share. He cannot help it, what he has found. We all feed the lake. That is what is important. It is a corporate act. We are all part of the body. And that is what it's all about. Now, I have friends who look at me when we talk about the idea of being created to create and say, I'm not creative. I'm not a creative person. And I'm here to say I disagree. Your creativity may not look like someone else's, but it doesn't mean you aren't creative. God's invitation to you is to add to the beauty. And what brings you delight and what brings you joy, that's a gift from God, and I encourage you to live into it. Further, there is room enough for you. So whatever your expression of beauty is, your expression of truth, whatever instrument you play, the aesthetic of songs and music you want to hear, the aesthetic of different varieties of art, visual, all of it, whatever your thing is, there's room. In the wildly popular musical Hamilton, one of the last pieces of the show, Aaron Burr has a song titled, "The World Was Wide Enough." And the line he sings is, "I should have known the world was wide enough for both Hamilton and me." There is room for you when it comes to creating. Let's put it all together. We're created to worship, we're created to create, and right here, right now, in Music, Art, and Drama Sunday, we are able to pull it together in community using all our talents. Why? Because the gospel is worth celebrating. God has made promises to bring his people to himself and is fulfilling them through Christ. Our holy God sent his righteous son to die for you, so that you can live and be holy and live joyfully with God forever. That is worth celebrating. And today is an opportunity for us to thank God for these good gifts, for the abundance of gifts that we find here at First Pres. We are spoiled rotten. When I think of First Pres and the gifts under the tree, we have so many shapes, sizes, beautiful colors, bows, such a variety, and it's a blessing. It's a gift from God. So in our worship, in just a moment, I'm going to have a stand, and we are going to praise God. But before we do, I want you to specifically think about this and what it might mean for you specifically. I want you to think about the children and the children's choirs, and the volunteer directors and the accompanists who consistently rehearse and teach the children basic music theory, music, and theology through their work. I want you to think about the folks who were in the art room for weeks putting glitter on literally thousands of egg cartons that we cut out. I want you to think about the praise teams and the bands that play week after week after week to bring forward praise to our Lord. To think about these amazing, amazing pieces of artwork, living artwork we receive week after week. The way that you too add to the beauty of this congregation. So would you please stand with me and let's give thanks to God. Thank you. Thank you, Dan. We are created to worship. We are created to create. The gospel is worth celebrating. Would you pray with me? Lord, thank you for creating us to worship, regardless of our circumstances. Thank you for meeting us there. Thank you for creating us to be creative and for the invitation to add to your beauty and for the gift of celebrating your gospel together at First Press. We love you. Amen. On that note, please remain seated and let us continue in our worship as Kayak presents Alleluia. God be praised.